The craziest football weekend in a long time. The Colts with an early choke job sets off a domino effect around the league. Big Ben puts off retirement for a little while longer, and the game we joked about ending in a tie was about to until it didn't. Plus, Black Monday around the NFL. We'll get into all the open head coaching positions, the moves we saw coming, and the moves that surprised us, and who could be leading your team next season.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Lots of things are better together. Hockey, food, golf. How about a cold one on the patio during a nice spring day? But if you really want to take things to the next level, drink some Labatt Blue Lights with your friends and live life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Great to be with us here on the GM Shuffle. Hey, what's better than more football? A week 18, and it certainly lived up to the hype. An awesome day of football, and we kick it off with the game Chargers and Raiders. As Mike and I joked about, what if it ends up being a tie? Well, could you have asked for anything more? The Raiders take an early lead, fueled by a questionable call in the middle of the third. The Chargers went for it, fourth and one on their own 18. Didn't get it. I'm sure my man Lombardi was apoplectic. Herbert puts the team on his back, and shame on me, Mike. They're down 29-14. I went to bed. I said, they're done. They scored two touchdowns in the final 5 minutes. A wild final drive ended with a 12-yard touchdown. Mike Williams, final play of the game. So, overtime. Both teams trade field goals. Everyone's thinking the Raiders will just run out the clock. Both teams get in. But Brandon Staley calls a timeout with 38 seconds to go, 5 seconds left in the game clock. That sets up the Raiders to go for the kill. Big run, 47-yard field goal, time expires, and the Raiders win it. Rich Bisaccia said they were considering going for the tie, but the run by Jacobs set up the timeout, put them into position to kick the field goal for the win. So much to talk about. Let's get into Staley first. These are some questionable moves, huh?
You know, I think we lose sight of Staley because he goes for it on fourth down and he has all this, you know, analytical community behind him. But at the end of the day, he's not a good coach. At the end of the day, his defense sucks. At the end of the day, he's given up 175 points in the fourth quarter. He calls that timeout with 5 seconds left to go. People are giving him shit saying it's the Chris Webber timeout. I think he was trying to get his defense lined up correctly. I do. But it just shows you that he's not a good coach. He couldn't even get that done. Because the Raiders were willing to play for the tie there, he makes the playoffs. But because they couldn't even get his defense lined up right, I mean, this has been going on all year long about Staley. Staley is that magician that makes you focus on something over here to the right. Meanwhile, he's a disaster over here to the left. And his defense is a fucking disaster. And there's no denying it. I mean, at the end of the day, no one will admit this because he goes for it on fourth down. Like, that's a requirement to be a great coach, right? You know, like, why have a punter? You're going to go for it on fourth down. Save some money, you know? You know, why not? Anyway, at the end of the day, his inability to fix his third down defense, 32 in the National Football League, points allowed, 29th. They got significantly worse during the year than they did at any point during the Anthony Lynn administration. You know, we made fun of Anthony Lynn on this podcast, everybody. The country made fun of Anthony Lynn. But the reality of it is this team was better coached with Anthony Lynn than it is now. They have the same problems. They were just better coached on defense. I mean, none of these problems that the Chargers had last year have gone away. Malfunctions in the fourth quarter. You give up a high. I was in Cleveland in 1994. With Nick Saban and Bill Belichick. Now, we only played 16 games, granted, okay? We gave up 204 points the entire year. He gave up 179 in the fourth quarter. And you're going to put him in a defensive stratosphere? Like, seriously, this is the Raiders scored 30 points twice in the last 9 weeks of the season. They scored 16 against the Cleveland Browns and Nick Mullen. They scored 23 against the Colts. I mean, like, seriously, they're not an offensive juggernaut any longer. And they put 30, whatever they put on you. You couldn't stop them. Third and 23. How's that going down your throat? How's that? Oh, go ahead, have a first down. Please, I'll have another. Like, I think, to me, there's no owner I've worked for in the National Football League that would have kept Brandon Staley after this season. And everybody thinks you're firing him for going for it on fourth down, which is complete malpractice. No one can defend. I don't give a shit the analytical community at all. No one can defend. In a close playoff game, you go for it on your own 18-yard line. How do you defend that? You're basically saying, here's 3 points. And you know you have a shitty defense. Like you don't have the 85 Bears or the 02 Raven or 01 Raven. You don't have that defense. You have a shitty defense. You're 29th in points allowed. You're 30th in yards per average per attempt. You give up all these points and then you go for it on four. Based on what? Based on what? Why don't you just give them 3 points and say, thank you, sir. I'll have another. I mean, like, this is, to me, how does he survive this? Don't even forget about the timeout. Forget that. He couldn't even get his defense aligned properly on the last play of the game. He calls timeout. And I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to say he called timeout to get his defense aligned, which I think he did. And he couldn't get him aligned. Now, true people who know that Staley's line, true people who know, would say he's a shitty defensive coach. Let's just put it out there. He's a really bad defensive coach. Their offense is good enough to win, but he's a bad defensive coach. I don't give a shit. He should get his ass fired for that alone.
Inexplicable is the only way you could describe a couple of those moves. And to your point, I mean, listen, as a football fan, we love Herbert, 383 yards passing, 3 touchdowns. I want to see the Chargers in the playoffs because I want to see him in the playoffs specifically. Eckler's obviously a ton of fun to watch, but ultimately, you know, they fall apart. And as you said, there has to be accountability. I mean, there's certain losses that happen. And you go, well, there's some growing pains, but this is the classic. You're snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. And to your point, at the very least, I mean, at the very least, you're going to think they're bringing in some stronger defensive minds to help out Brandon Staley. But I wouldn't be shocked if he lost his job over something like this. That's how catastrophic these mistakes were.
I mean, it was all year long, right? I mean, it's all year long. And you know, they lose a game. Waller has 2 catches for 22 yards. Renfro has 4 catches for 13 yards. They didn't get beat. Couldn't stop the run. Especially late in the game, he couldn't stop the run. And he made the mistakes. I mean, if you're a well-coached football team, do you have 10 penalties? Now, look, I don't agree with that pass interference call in the end zone. That ball wasn't catchable. Inspector Gadget couldn't have caught that ball. You know, but I mean, they called it on him. I mean, this is not a well-coached team. You know, we made fun of Anthony Lynn. I would say I'll raise you and have another. That Lynn's team was better coached than this team. It's just true. Now, he goes for it on fourth down, what puts him in a completely different category. But Passacci's going to take the tie. And seriously, don't you think everybody at the broadcast networks, you work there, don't you think if they could have had a vote, they would have rather had Herbert in than us having to watch Ben for another week? I mean, I can't watch Ben Roethlisberger play football for another week. I just can't do it. I'm sorry. He's going in the Hall of Fame. He's tremendous. I can't watch him play football another week. Thank God I don't have to listen to Scott Hansen for another week. By the way, was he obsessed with the draft order yesterday? Let's go off on a side note here for a second. Was this son of a bitch obsessed with the draft order? You know, all he's talking about is Detroit's going to lose. Detroit's run by Captain Kneecaps. You think he's not trying to win? Meanwhile, every sentence coming out of your mouth is the draft order. And if they win this game, they could lose the first pick. Like, have some freaking awareness. All right, let's go back to Staley. How does he look at his team? Fellas, I just pissed away the Charger game. Don't worry, it's on me. You know, I just pissed away this game. Don't worry, it's on me. Like, what owner? I mean, you think Eddie DeBar? You think Al Davis would have hung him right by the light?
On the way out, Brandon, bring in your playbook, okay? You're not going to need anything anymore. Just go ahead. Give me the keys.
You see that fire? You see that fucking torch up there? You're going up there. You know? Are you kidding me? You go for it at your own 18 in a playoff game? I mean, would Vince Lombardi have done that? No. Would Paul Brown have done that? No. Would John Madden have done that? No. You're so much better than John, than all these guys. You're so much smarter. And that's what most people in the coaching community think, that Staley has a high level of arrogance to him, that he thinks he's smarter than everybody else. And this, to me, is an example of how he tries to prove how smart he is to everybody else, because he constantly does something that's out there. And the Spanos family, I don't know how they tolerate it. I don't know how Tom Telesco doesn't say, hey, you're killing me, bro. You're killing me.
We'll find our answers in the days ahead. But what I also think is fascinating is the Raiders coaching situation. We just talked about the fact that there's rumors about Jim Harbaugh perhaps being the new coach of the Raiders. How about Rich Bisaccia? This is amazing what he was able to do, Mike. Henry Ruggs situation, Gruden leaves in disgrace, and yet this Raiders team is in the playoffs. Yes, you can argue it's week 18. Yeah, there's an extra playoff team. The Raiders in the playoffs, though, you know this organization as well as anybody. This is quite an achievement. It really is.
I think Rich has done a great job. I don't think he should be the next head coach, but I think he's done a great job. I think he really has. I think the job's going to become bigger once you take that interim label off and all of a sudden it'll fall apart. But I do think he's done a tremendous job and I think he deserves recognition and he should stay on as the special teams coach, assistant head coach, on whomever gets the head coaching job. I don't think he should leave the organization. I think he's really done it. But they've won four games in overtime. They've won four games in overtime. And some of the incompetence by these teams in overtime have lent itself to their benefit. And don't take anything away from them. They rallied. They played. I mean, they did the things they needed to do. They won a game. They didn't make any mistakes yesterday. They didn't make any mistakes. They ran the ball late in the fourth quarter. They didn't beat themselves, much like the Chargers did. I mean, the Chargers beat themselves under the direction of this head coach. And could you imagine what we would have said if Anthony Lynn did this?
Well, listen, you're right. We used to crush them all the time last year. That's a pretty bold statement from you to say that this team is no better. They're, in fact, better with Anthony Lynn. If we could play that game, would the Chargers team this year be in the playoffs if Anthony Lynn was the head coach? The answer would be yes, which is crazy.
Yeah, because they'd be better on defense. I mean, they would have been better on defense. I mean, Herbert's going to be Herbert. You know, I mean, fourth and 23 from the fucking is, and they get the ball in there. I mean, some of the throws he makes are just damn near remarkable. Like, I thought the game was over eight times.
A wild sequence of events. The Raiders are going to the playoffs. But the biggest shock of the weekend, the Colts.
Yeah.
Are you the amount of tweets that we got with your reference to Ricky Fowler, Carson Wentz is Ricky Fowler. The Jaguars win it 26-11. This wasn't like they squeaked by a couple of lucky plays, maybe some bad calls. No. They kicked their ass 26-11. They still get the number one spot. They dominated the Colts, especially defensively. And Carson Wentz, we said if anybody could fix him, Mike, it's Frank Reich. Frank Reich gets so much credit for when Philadelphia was doing so well as the offensive coordinator there with Doug Peterson. He had the best out of Wentz. If anybody can fix him, it's Frank Reich. Well, in the critical game, Carson Wentz sacked six times, turned the ball over twice. They finished with 233 total yards, their lowest since December of 2019. One of the all-time chokes, and it's great news for the Eagles because they get that first-round pick. I don't know how you can be a Carson Wentz apologist today.
You can. I mean, look, this is the Sunday at the Masters. He gets up on the first tee. Jim Nance introduces him from North Dakota, Carson Wentz, and the ball gets shanked into the woods. He's in that deep bunker over there on the right on the first tee off of Augusta, and we can't find him the rest of the day. And by the eighth hole, CBS doesn't even show another shot that he makes.
Yeah.
Remember, you know how that usually happens with the leaders, right? You know, we start off, we get the introduction. Here's Ricky Fowler from Key West, Florida, you know, and he hits the ball. And, you know, and then by the eighth hole, when he's completely out of the fucking tournament, we don't see him ever again. That to me was Carson Wentz yesterday. Like, this game wasn't even close. Like, they were never in this game. And I'll say this, you know, for all the love that Matt Eberflus gets as a defensive coach, and he gets interviewed for every single coaching job, he's, you know, they can't wait to tell you how great they are. They stink on defense. They're not good enough on defense. They have never been good enough on defense. And they let Trevor Lawrence kind of get some life. I mean, Trevor Lawrence played really well. They ran the football effectively against them. Like, how do you lay this big of an egg against this team? How do you do that? You knew they were going to be, you knew you always struggle down there, like the Patriots struggle in Florida. You know you struggle down there, but at some point you can't lose the game. You got to go into that game saying, okay, I'm not going to lose it. But of course, my man Ricky, he's going to fumble twice. He's going to fumble and throw an interception. He's going to do it. He's going to shoot 76 on Sunday, and we won't see him after the eighth hole. I mean, I don't know how you fix this if you're Frank Wright. I don't know how you fix it because every time it's a big, now you're giving up a first round pick for the guy. Every time it's a big game, he can't match the play.
Colts have now lost 7 in a row on the road to the Jaguars. So this, for some reason, the Jaguars have their numbers. You mentioned Lawrence. He had the best game of his rookie campaign. So whoever the new head coach is, says, listen, I can get more out of Trevor Lawrence there, whether it's Doug Peterson. That remains to be seen. But for the Colts, you had Jonathan Taylor put together a tremendous season, and you're a non-playoff team. You have to go get a quarterback now. You can't believe in Carson Wentz, right?
Well, I mean, you gave up a first-round pick for him, right? You gave up a first pick for him. So, like, how are you going to go out there and say, I'm going to replace him? Like, you're going to have to try to make him better and make the team around him better. I mean, yesterday, you know, Jonathan Taylor wasn't able to run the ball, so he couldn't carry the team. I mean, when you can stop their running game and you put the pressure on Ricky to shoot 67 in a pressure of corner, you're not going to win it. I mean, you know, if this game would have been played Thursdays, he might have shot 63, 64. But once, you know, it wasn't going to happen. I mean, it was horrible. I mean, he does so many bad things with the ball that you just wonder, like, did you ever play the game? Like, do you have any instincts at all? Like, what's going on?
Ultimately, a huge disappointment for the Colts. And then, of course, the Steelers, where there was scoreboard watching there in Baltimore, both the Steelers and Ravens needed to win. Miracle win by the Jaguars. So now all of a sudden they're battling. And Roethlisberger, again, as so often in his career, it's not pretty, but 4th and 8, less than 3 minutes left in overtime. He hits Ray McCloud, perfect pass, sets up a field goal. Of course, the Ravens miss Lamar Jackson. They lose 6 straight games to end the season. At what point, Mike, we thought they might be the best team in the AFC. They can't even make the playoffs. And now Pittsburgh, they're in the playoffs. I mean, credit to obviously the resolve of this team, but I think we go back to Mike Tomlin. This guy never lost sight of the situation, was able to coach up this team. Despite Ben's shortcomings, they're a playoff team.
It's really remarkable. Hats off to Mike Tomlin. I mean, goddamn, Mike Tomlin, what a tremendous job. I mean, to win 9 games with this team, with this outfit, bad on defense, bad on offense, you know, and getting blown out by some of the games he got blown out by during the year. I mean, seriously, to win 9 games with this team. I mean, look, I don't want to see him play. I don't want to watch him play against Kansas City on Sunday night next week. I really don't. I mean, you know, they got beat 36-10 the last time they were there, you know, and that game wasn't even as close as the score was. I stand up as much as I'm critical on coaches, and I don't mean just personally towards Staley. I mean it towards watching them and evaluating them, because somebody's got to be able to evaluate, right? And they can take the criticism or not. I don't really care. That's what you get paid to do. But the reality here is I stand and applaud, to me, the job that Tomlin's been able to do, working around this situation with when he knows Ben can't play anymore, when he knows it's over, and yet they're still able to find a way to win 2 of the last 3 games, you know, after getting blown out in Kansas City and manufacturing a win against Tennessee, how, I don't know. But, I mean, he and Sean Payton have done the most remarkable coaching jobs. Sometimes the greatest coaching jobs don't necessarily are involved in the win-loss column. They really aren't. I mean, Belichick 7-9 last year, I think, was one of his finest coaching jobs. This year, Sean Payton at 9-8, and Mike Tomlin at 9-7-1 is flat out remarkable. They should be applauded for it, and it's Hall of Fame worthy.
We'll talk about the Saints, the fact they almost made the playoffs, and props to those coaches. By the way, the matchups, we'll dig into these on Thursday, that preview episode of the GM Shuffle. Chiefs Steelers, which Mike just mentioned, Bills Patriots, I can't wait, round 3, and the Raiders and the Bengals. We'll take a look at the NFC playoff picture next. Jimmy G spoils the Rams' chance at the 2 seed, plus Black Monday in the league, 4 coaches already fired. Should there be more coming? Well, we just talked about Staley. We'll break it down next.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. With same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more, don't miss out as the NBA postseason winds down. I mean, these second-round playoffs have been unreal, and we have the conference finals now on the horizon. Make sure you get all those futures bets in before the value disappears. And if you're new to DraftKings, you gotta check this out. New customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code SHUFFLE. That's code SHUFFLE for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5 only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available. For problem gambling, call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Here's the NFC playoff picture. The Packers, the Bucs, the Cowboys, the Rams. Those are your top four seeds. The Cardinals, the 49ers, and the Philadelphia Eagles are going to the playoffs, which we knew from a week ago. The Niners spot was in jeopardy, but they beat the Rams in overtime, win and in. And in the first half, it was all Rams. Jimmy G was struggling. The Rams are ready to roll. Sean McVay undefeated in his coaching career when leading at halftime. The Niners were 0-40. In the last 10 seasons, went down by 17 points. That's crazy. But they're a completely different team in the second half. Garoppolo comes out firing. Debo Samuel was fantastic. Rams 24-17 lead late in the fourth. Niners get the ball under a minute. No timeouts. Jimmy G drives them down the field for the tie. And then the field goal in the first possession of overtime. And Stafford throws a pick. Gritty win for the 49ers, Mike. And how about Garoppolo, a quarterback who you have said doesn't get nearly enough credit? I'm sure he's getting some credit today.
I mean, really, I mean, I know the people say, well, he threw a pick. I mean, the two-minute drive at the end of the game, I mean, the one-minute drive at the end of the game is flat-out remarkable. I mean, it really is. And for them to make that comeback and then to get it into overtime and win that game, and the Rams just wilt away in the second half. And, you know, once again, you know, the Rams give up a cheap 3 points at the end of the half. At the end of the half, you know, the Rams have the ball with 3:43 to go in the half, and they start their drive out. They go first and 10. They don't get anything. Second and 11, you know, he gets Cooper Kupp for 8 yards. Third and one. Third and three, he gets the first down. Now we have the two-minute warning, right? So now you've got the ball at the Rams. You're at your own 33. You want to go in at 17-0. So he runs Sonny Michel up the middle for 7 yards. They don't call timeout. They let that clock go all the way down. Then we get Sonny Michel for 2 yards. It's third and one, and Kyle calls timeout at that point. And, you know, and then they don't convert to third and one. And the next thing you know, this Ram defense, which can't stop you in 2 minutes, even though they have Von Miller and Aaron Donald, you know, they go down and get that 3 points. And nobody really thinks much of it. You know, it's like nobody thinks much of it. But then they come back and score to start the second half. So they middle eight them for 10 points. There's the game. They middle eight them for 10. And then the Rams, for some reason, you know, the more Stafford gets hit, the less effective he really becomes. And you know, I mean, in the third quarter, the Rams had no first downs. In the third quarter, they had no first downs. In the fourth quarter, they had a total of 7 first downs, 1 by penalty, 4 by pass, and 2 by run. They held the ball for 8 minutes. They were 3 for 5 on third down in the fourth quarter. But the problem was they couldn't get the key third down. They couldn't make the third and seven. They forced a timeout and they couldn't do it. And so, you know, I mean, that they kept the ball, they got first downs, but they had a 3rd and 10 back at the Ram 42. This is a chance to kind of win the game a little bit, and they couldn't get it done.
For Stafford, Mike, going into yesterday, he turned the ball over 6 times the last 2 games, 5 interceptions and a fumble, 5 games, at least 2 turnovers this season. The Rams are 2-3 in those contests. I like this Rams team a lot. They have a ton of talent, but I have a tough time believing they're going to go deep in the playoffs because of Stafford's turnover issues.
Yeah, I don't see them doing it. I mean, I think to me, 12-5, you know, when you look at the end of the year, you know, this is now 3 weeks in a row. 3 turnovers against Minnesota, 3 against Baltimore, 2 yesterday. Now, they were fortunate enough, they got 2 themselves. But at the end of the day, you know, people think this is an explosive Ram offense. They had 265 yards against the 49ers. The 49ers put 449 on them. 49ers moved the ball up and down the field, especially in the second half. Garoppolo throws for 314. I mean, you know, they're lucky they're in this game. They only got 300 yards against the shitty Baltimore team. 373, they threw for 300 against Baltimore. Baltimore doesn't have anybody. They're playing safeties at corner. So, I mean, it's going to be a hard go. I don't know how healthy Stafford is either. He gets the shit kicked out of him. He really does.
That's a question mark now for the Rams moving forward. Not only the health of their quarterback, but also his decision-making. 33 years of age, he's got a great opportunity to go deep. We'll see if Stafford can assume the mantle. Elsewhere, Seahawks over the Cardinals, 38-3. So the Cardinals had a chance to clinch the AFC West with a win and a Rams loss, but the Seahawks play spoiler there. So Murray couldn't get much going through the air. The Cardinals defense really struggling. As far as the Seahawks are concerned, Pete Carroll suffers his first losing season in a decade. Said after the game, he's in great shape in regards to his job security. Some rumors about Russell Wilson, maybe he's moving on. But the Cardinals, Mike, another team that's tough to buy going to the playoffs. They started hot, but they fizzled. Last season, they missed the playoffs. This year, they're in. But there's a feeling that's the same, is that this team, you can't buy them. And Rams-Cardinals is going to be the matchup this weekend. Again, we'll preview it more in depth Thursday. But how about the way Arizona's season has completely shifted?
You know, in this game against the Seahawks, it looks like it's a 38-30 game and everything's close. But, I mean, two of the touchdowns that the Cardinals got were given to them by Russell Wilson, interceptions. You know, one, the fumble that picks up scores, first play of the game. And then they couldn't do anything. And then they got another interception. The kid brought it back to like the 1 yard line. They first marked it at the 4, and then they put it at the 1. So, you know, for me, I mean, their offense is broken right now. I mean, they're really broken. They can't really throw the football effectively. They kept them, did a good job of keeping them in the pocket. And I thought yesterday, watching Pete on the sidelines, I thought that he knew he's coming back. I felt like Pete felt like there was an excitement. Now, there's been a lot of conversations. There's been rumors that there's been search firms out there doing due diligence for Seattle. I don't think they're rumors. I think they are, but I don't know if they're doing due diligence for a president. I don't know if they're doing due diligence for a general manager or doing diligence for somebody. But there is a search firm engaged by Seattle, and this is a big but, I don't know if that is for any of the football positions. So you have to be really careful there. However, that being said, I do think, I don't know why everybody continues to say Russell won't be back. I know everybody wants to continue to run with this story, but the reality of it is I don't see how Seattle gives up on Russell. And the way Russell and Pete were interacting, I didn't see any discontent.
I guess the thought goes to last offseason when Wilson was saying he wasn't asking for a trade, wouldn't be averse to trading. We have that handful of teams he would go to, potentially Chicago, et cetera. But I'm with you. He's a great asset. Unless he wants to be moved, can't see Seattle moving him. The matchups look like this. Bucks-Eagles. Cowboys 49ers, one of the great rivalries of the 90s. I'm just picturing all the video are going to be seen of Terrell Owens and the Niners, Steve Young, all the rest of it against those great Cowboys teams and the Rams and the Cardinals. We'll preview those matchups once again on Thursday. Bucks, Eagles, Cowboys 49ers, Rams, Cardinals. About 15 minutes left or so. How about a little Black Monday conversation? The Broncos, as you predicted, Mike, he said, I don't think Vic Fangio is going to last. Fired on Sunday after 3 seasons, 19-30 record. He finished 7-10. Saturday lost the Chiefs the 14th straight time and the Broncos' 5th straight losing season. They're looking for their 5th head coach in 9 years. So Broncos general manager George Payton, you can't keep recycling coaches and expect to sustain a winning culture, but we're going to get it right with this search. I can guarantee you that. If they had a quarterback, they would have made the playoffs, right?
Yeah, no doubt. And I think that it was interesting, the press release. There's no mention of Elway in the press release, that this is going to be George Payton's decision. Now, I don't know if Elway is going to influence it, but he has really removed himself from any of the forefront of a decision-making. I don't know if he's still involved. Now, we know this team's up for sale, and there's going to be some form of a sale that goes on with it. Who knows what happens? But I give George credit. He was very respectful to Vic, who should be. I mean, Vic couldn't get it right on offense. He couldn't quite get the quarterback, and he paid a price for it. It's an attractive job. They've got a good roster. They really do. I think somebody could go in there and win right away if they can fix the quarterback. But if fixing the quarterback is a little harder said than done.
Maybe Vic's got a job as a coordinator somewhere else in the NFL. Meantime, the Dolphins, Brian Flores fired it for 3 seasons, 24-25. The Dolphins won 8 of their last 9 games, starting 1-7. They beat the Pats to finish 9-8. But this one raised an eyebrow. Flores, he was basically a 500 coach, Mike, after 3 years. Maybe the fact that Tua Tagovailoa is the guy moving forward hurts his chances. But what did you think of Flores being fired?
I thought it was ridiculous. I mean, he's a good coach, but you know, the word on the street is he doesn't play nice in the sandbox. You know, he's not very political, and there was some conflict between him and Greer, which I think is just natural. I mean, I was told that he's been very confrontational to Tua. Like, it's been very like, you know, and I can't repeat exactly what I know because somebody would then it would get back, but. There was discontent between, he knows Tua's not good enough. I mean, he knows it. I mean, the fact that he lost his job over a quarterback that can't play is ridiculous. Got through for 100 yards. Brian has beaten Bill Belichick 4 times in a row now. He's beaten Belichick 4 times in a row. I mean, yesterday he beat him. You know, it was a 27-24 game until the last play of the game, but beat him in the opener. And, you know, now they said he wasn't easy on the staff. He was hard, all those things. Look, I just think it's really hard for people to understand what it takes to win in the league. And sometimes the guy who's leading it may be a little hard on people, but that's what you're going to need. And I don't think Brian should be unemployed very long. I think he's an excellent coach. You know, but I think this is part of the problem, that one of the reasons why New England doesn't hire outside to in is because they raise them in there so they understand the culture as they're going along. But when you try to bring this radical, charged culture, holding everybody accountable, pushing the envelope every single day, I think people get worn out. And I think that's ultimately what happened in Miami. At the end of the day, if Miami thinks that Tua can lead them anywhere, they're really crazy. And Greer kept his job, and he's responsible for picking them. Now, the owner this summer came out and said, hey, I expect to win a Super Bowl really soon. God bless.
Yeah, we'll see what those Deshaun Watson rumors of those kick up some steam again.
Well, I don't think they're going to kick up, because I think a lot of that came from Flores. I think there was a love of Watson towards Flores. I mean, Flores is a man's man. He's going to tell you what he thinks. He's not going to sugarcoat it. I'm sure he told, I know he's told Tua what he thinks, you know, and I know he told Tua he has to expect to play better. It's not a secret. You can't hide behind some of these analysts that say he's playing well. It's a fact. He threw for 100 yards. You know, he can't make any plays. You know, he can't make any plays. He it's all yards after the catch. Is he accurate? Sure, he's accurate. Can he do some things? They designed the offense around him. But at the end of the day, he threw three interceptions yesterday that were dropped. I mean, literally dropped. I mean, that was at the end, as bad as the Patriots played, they probably win that game if they can catch an interception. So I feel bad for Bryant. I would think somebody would get a hell of a coach.
End of an era in Minnesota. Mike Zimmer fired after 8 seasons. His record overall, 74-59-1. He took the Vikings to 3 postseasons, but lately it got sour. Missed the playoffs 3 of the last 4 years. They finished 8-9, second losing season in a row. A good coach, Mike, but a guy who couldn't get them over the hump, especially the last 2 seasons. I think Minnesota said, we have a good roster. Why aren't we in the playoffs? And unfortunately, it cost Zim his job.
Yeah, and it cost Rick Spielman his job, too. Everybody thought Spielman was going to move up. Everybody thought Spielman was safe. You know, everybody was getting information that Spielman was all good. Wonder where that came from. I don't know. You know, I mean, it's funny how that all was going on. All of a sudden, the anchor got dropped on poor Rick. And look, I think sometimes coaches need a change. We wrote about it today for the Daily Coach that, you know, Mike's done a really good job. He's had a great career. He really has. He just couldn't get him over the hump. And let's face it, this is going to be one of those where Cousins is going to be responsible for this, because at the end of the day, his contract and his inability to play in the clutch is ultimately what really going to cost this team.
And one more for you. As Mike Zimmer gone, it's the Bears, and no one was shocked by this. Matt Nagy fired for 4 seasons, 34-31, along with the GM Ryan Pace after 7 seasons. The Bears made the playoffs twice under Nagy, only 1 winning season, though. They were outscored 28-3 in the second half of the game versus the Vikings on Sunday. They finished 6-11. Listen, Matt Nagy, we knew was coming, but Ryan Pace, we also knew was coming. Mike, this is a package deal. Both these guys had to go, and Chicago now has real question marks as to getting this right and trying to turn their organization and their culture around.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Bears are, it's going to be interesting what the Bears do. Obviously, there's a lot of conversation out there about Jim Harbaugh, what's going to happen with him. He's a former Bear, former Raider. Jim Harbaugh is linked to, I mean, Stephen Ross is a big Michigan guy, loves Jim Harbaugh. Will he make a play after him? I don't know. But I mean, look, the Bears need to change. They need to get out of their collaboration. We wrote about this in the Daily Coach months ago. They need to change. They need to figure out, bring somebody in who has expertise in football to help guide them, because I don't think they've been guided very well. I think there's been a lot of mistakes made along the way. And even though Nagy had 3 games over 500 winning record, I don't think the team was built conducively for where they play. And they're going to have to find the right guy, the right general manager, help that search. I mean, this is the problem. So many people think they know, and very few do, on how to pick the coach. I would say Black Monday is more about people not understanding why they win and why they lose than anything else. And it's easy to change the coach, but if you really don't know why you're losing, you really can't fix the problem. The Giants may not change their coach, right? They might not change their coach because they don't understand why they win and why they lose.
Let's just do 1 minute each here on these. Jaguars, they're open positions now. Urban Meyer fired for just 13 games, 2-11. The offensive coordinator, Daryl Bevel, took over as head coach. Rumors about Doug Peterson. What do you think about who should be the coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars?
I think this is an institutional issue. I think it's going to be a really hard job. I mean, look, Trent Baalke's there. Baalke, you know, he was there. Harbaugh got fired from Baalke. Tom Asula got fired from Balky. Chip Kelly got fired from Balky. And then Doug Marrone got fired when Balky was there. So there's really not a lot of continuity and stability with Balky. If they keep Balky, I think it's going to be a challenging job for Trent and for the new coach. He's going to have to find somebody that he's really compatible with. I think it's really hard. I think there's institutional problems within the Jacksonville. They got the son, Tony, who has analytics. He's coming in. He's got all the answers. Like, they really need a clean sweep. They need a clean sweep in that. They need to change the mindset, not rearrange the mindset. And I think that's part of the problem. They don't know really what the problem is. The problem starts at the owner, not at the coach.
You had Jaguars fans showing up yesterday in clown outfits mocking Balky, and clearly fans aren't happy with the fact he's staying. Raiders, we mentioned the fact Rich Bisaccia took over, led them to the playoffs. John Gruden resigning after 5 weeks. You said Bisaccia's done a nice job, Mike, but you don't think he'd be the guy long-term. Who would be?
I don't know the answer to that. I would think they would look to Jim Harbaugh. I think they need some stability in that place. I think one thing about Mark Davis, he wants to hire his coach like he did with Gruden, give him a 10-year contract and leave him alone. Let him run it, stay out of it. He wants to be able to enjoy the wins. I don't know if that can happen with Rich. I don't see that. I mean, Rich has done a really nice job. I don't want to minimize what he's done. He's kept the team together. Winning 4 overtime games, how fortunate can you be? You go 0-4 in those overtime games, all of a sudden you're 6-11.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I know they want him, and you are what your record says you are, but that to me is something that I think, they're looking at a bigger picture situation.
Last one before we get the awards, Dave Gettleman and Joe Judge. Joe Judge, 10-22 in 2 seasons as Giants head coach. Gettleman, 19-45 in 4 seasons as Giants GM. They were embarrassed by Washington 22-7 and had the smallest crowd in MetLife Stadium history. Do both these guys keep their jobs?
Well, I mean, it sounds like Gettleman's going to be on the way out, but I tweeted this earlier today. And I think this is just how bad the Giants are. They have no idea who they really are. The Giants, with their loss yesterday, their win percentage over the last 5 years became 27%. During the worst era of football from 74 to 78, included was the Meadowlands, which promoted the intervention. They've had a 28.5 winning percent. They were actually better during their worst period than they are now. But John Mara will continue to do what he always does. Bury his head in the stand, run the family business. And because he's not relying on people in the stands, he's not relying on anything to make a profit, he can do that. And yet it's just going to continue to go downhill.
Let's do some awards, shall we? Who's going on the lamb? I think we know the answer, Mr. Staley.
Oh, I think Staley belongs on the lamb. I mean, to me, Staley is, look in the mirror, Brendan. Like, you're supposed to be this great defense. You got this coach because you're the defensive coach. Your defense got worse. Your defense got significantly worse. I mean, it's not even, you can't defend yourself. Like, you're supposed to be in charge of the defense. You give up over 4. So what you're saying is it's all the fault of the players? I mean, opposing quarterbacks have a 93.8 rating against you. You give up 11.1 yards per pass attempt. You gave up 173 yards in the fourth quarter. And you gave up 12 points in overtime. I mean, you gave up 459 points. I mean, at some point, you're not going on the lamb. You got to go on sabbatical. You got to go.
He's got to go. There's no question about that. That is on the lamb. How about Fred Palermo Award? Best game plan of the week.
Oh, got to give it to Jacksonville. I mean, why not? Shit, they go down there, they win it. How about Mike Tomlin getting the Fred Palermo Award for the year?
Yep.
Maybe we should name Coach of the Year after Fred, Uncle Fred. Give it to Sean Payton and Mike Tomlin for a remarkable performance. I mean, Sean Payton loses to Taysom Hill, who can't stay healthy ever, right? I mean, for all the talk whether can Taysom play or not, at the end of the day, Taysom's problems at BYU, durability, are the same problems Taysom has in college, in pro. He can't stay on the field. And yet they still beat the Falcons. It's the best thing ever happened to the Falcons. Falcons losing was the best thing. They get a higher draft pick. They have a better situation. They move on. But, I mean, for Sean to win 9 games with that team, 4 quarterbacks, dealing with the hurricane at the beginning of the season, being relocated to Dallas and moving all these moving parts, Jesus, God. Tomlin, and to me, you put Tomlin or Sean Payton in Green Bay, how many do you think they'd win?
Might go unbeaten. They get the game plans of the year. And lastly, if you don't know, now you know.
That it's not about going for it on fourth down. It's about being a great coach in the area of your expertise. And to me as a GM and anybody who's evaluate the organization, when you hire to fix something, which I thought was a really good hire, I won't go on record saying that. I thought, look, we know the Chargers are going to be good on offense, but if they get this defense fixed right, they can be dominant. And now we know he's not a dominant defense coordinator.
I'll make this quick for the Pop Culture Minute. Don't Look Up, currently on Netflix. Lots of stars, Leonardo DiCaprio, Jennifer Lawrence, Tyler Perry, Ariana Grande, Meryl Streep. Unfortunately, a bit of a mishmash, though. I thought it was a disappointing film. It's about climate change. It's meant to be an analogy to whether people have treated COVID, not believing science, and the, you know, the divide between the left and the right. But Adam McKay was a good director. I really love the film Vice. I love The Big Short. I thought Don't Look Up was a disappointment to me. Trying to do a little bit too much. Currently on Netflix, I only gave it 2 Maple Leafs on the latest Cinephile. For you, Mike, did you watch Beating the Ricardos yet?
Not yet. I'm waiting for Millie to come back, which is tomorrow. I've been dealing with the dogs, and we had a dog fight in the house, which was traumatic, which I'm going to have to go to therapy before this is all over. It was painful, but I'm going through that. And so I've had no time to watch anything. I've been working like a dog
while the dogs are fighting. And now your dogs are barking.
They're fighting and trying to kill each other, and I'm trying to keep them separated.
Thank God Millie's back tomorrow. Thanks so much for checking out the GM Shuffle. On Thursday, we'll preview all 6 playoff games. It's playoff time. It's your time to listen to the GM Shuffle. Subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts.